Turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Luke. We are going through Christmas season and so forth, the series we're calling Characters at the Crib. We'll see those that are around the birth of Christ. And on Wednesday nights, where you see there in the bulletin, we're doing the passing on wisdom, talking about Solomon's wisdom that he wanted to pass on to his son. And of course, we get to be recipients of that. And of course, we just had there in Sunday school going through the book of James. So we'd like to invite you to come be a part of all those. And let's all stand together if you're able to. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 24. Luke chapter 1, verse 24. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Let's pray together as we get started this morning. Father, we are thankful. Lord, we're so blessed. Lord, you're so good to us. And Lord, you allow things to come in our life. And then, Lord, you take us through it. Lord, we so blessed by what you've done, and Lord, we have so many opportunities to be thankful, and yet this morning we look at this life of Mary, and Lord, what she was, and how you used her, and Lord, I pray that you would give us a desire, Lord, a burden to be used by you. Lord, I pray that you would convict those that need to be convicted. Lord, would you exhort those that need to be exhorted? Lord, maybe there's some here this morning need to be comforted. Lord, pray whatever that need is, Lord, you'd meet the need in each of our lives, and we'll give you thanks for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So her name was Mary. Mary is one of the most idolized persons among some that would call themselves Christians. There's statues made of her, pictures hung, prayers are made to her. Some consider her the intercessor between us and Jesus. It's even suggested that Mary herself was virgin born. Immaculate conception, they'll talk about. Likewise, it's suggested that Mary remained a virgin after the birth of Christ. No doubt all of these ideas and these thoughts and teachings that some give about her are to elevate her to some form of holiness beyond her humanity. But it just isn't the case, is it? Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew in chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 24, the Bible gives us this account of what we've seen over there in Luke. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And then over in Mark chapter 3, we find in verse 31, there came then his brethren and his mother. And standing without, sent unto him and calling him. So we find here his brethren, brothers, back in Matthew chapter 13. You say, we just got over there. I know. We're looking at a few here because I want to show us what we see about Mary and her family. Matthew 13 and verse 55. Bible says, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And then turn over to Galatians in chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse, down there in verse 19. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. So, Mary clearly had more children. To suggest otherwise is to throw away all that the Scripture has revealed to us. It's actually to say, this is just a partially decent book, and there's some interesting things in there, but we've got another real story. I can remember sitting, this is many years ago, maybe not that many years, four or five years ago, I guess, now I think about it. I was sitting in a place, sitting down, talking to some Muslim men from Iran. Sitting down, we were talking, I was talking to them about the Lord. We were at a hotel there, I was in quarantine during that time. We don't want to get into that mess. But I was there talking to them, spent some time talking to them. I began talking to them about the Lord. And they said, yeah, they began telling me stories about Jesus and about Mary and about Mary's life that's in the Quran. All these stories, they're just coming up with some of these other stories, different things. I said, wow. I said, that's actually not true. the Bible doesn't tell about any of that. We don't have any of those ideas. And these are, you know, it's outside of this. It's just, I don't even know. It's certainly not even historical. It's just, you know, fiction. And we began, and I was very intrigued to find out how much information they had about Mary that was extra-biblical. I thought, isn't this fascinating? They certainly have nothing to do with Christ in a sense, and of course they think of Jesus as a prophet and so forth. But I thought, wow, there's a lot of things that get written about and get and how they've taken and to characterize Mary in any way in any this sort of way as it's clearly not found in the Scriptures at all. Certainly, there would have been honor given to Mary, as his mother, in the flesh, but certainly not some way as in mother overall spirituality and things religious in that way. Look at Luke chapter 8 with me. You'll see this here. Luke chapter 8 and verse 19. It says, then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. You know, can I say this? Mary had no special place with Jesus other than any other believer had. Right? It's clearly the intent of those verses to show that, listen, that's your mother and your brother. He said, listen, whoever here follows the Lord, that's my mother. That's my brethren. Listen, if she didn't have any other special place then, she doesn't now. Now, I like to start with what's not true, right? Sometimes, listen, I want us to look at this. This is a wonderful lady in the Scriptures, okay? So I want to start by saying what she's not. She's not Mary of Immaculate Conception. She's not this and she's not that thing. But I'm telling you, she's still a wonderful lady. And we don't. And the Bible tells us a lot about her. And so I don't want us to... Listen, I get so frustrated with how the world and false teachers, they take God's Word, they'll manipulate it, they'll twist it, they'll do something else with it, and then we're afraid to be associated with anything close to their teachings. We could almost be afraid of saying anything nice about Mary, lest we be thought like we're worshiping her, right? We see the same thing with other areas. And so, listen, I want to start by saying all that outside of the Bible they say about her, it's just not true. It's not, she's not something, we don't ask her to get to Jesus for us. Could you imagine that? There's one mediator between man and God. That is the man, Christ Jesus. All right? Bible's clear on that. So, but let's see a little bit more about who she is then. Luke chapter 1, back there again. Luke chapter 1 and in verse 28 once again. It said, and the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Listen, I want to say this morning this. Mary was a special lady. Mary was definitely someone special in the same way that Joseph was someone special. We talked about him last week, and this was a man that had to make some tough decisions, and he had to have some faith. And listen, God uses special people all throughout the Scriptures and beyond, even in our world today. God can use, continue to use those that would be special. So, begs the question, what made Mary special? Right? So, first I want you to notice again there in verse 28. He says there, blessed art thou among women. So the blessed means to be well spoken of, to be praised. And others would have... Mary was not a woman that had a secret spiritual life between her and the Lord only. She was praised by the women for her love for the Lord. Listen, God has not called us to have... Listen, God has not called us to have a private relationship with Him. It's personal, but it's not private. The Lord isn't looking for undercover Christians. Right? Like we're hiding our badge of Christianity. Like we don't have badges, but we don't... Listen, we're not... listen, this isn't the kind of thing... If anybody's ever said something like to you, that you ever heard somebody's working with you, spent some time, they said something like this to you. Well, after you worked with them for some years, I didn't know you were a Christian. That should be an indictment to us. Man, I failed, right? Or I need to get better on that thing, right? Listen, our life, God does not want us to have a private relationship with Him. It's to be personal, but it's not to be private. Now you say, well, we're supposed to go into our closet and this. Yeah, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There's times when we get alone with the Lord, certainly. But we get alone with the Lord to be equipped to get with other people with the Lord. Listen, he said he wants us to be witnesses, to be a light that shines, that man might see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. There's no such thing as a private relationship with the Lord. You ever heard, you begin to talk to somebody about the Lord and they say, well, that's between me and God. Right? start talking to him about the Lord. Well, have you ever been saved? You know you're going to heaven. Well, that's between me and God. Well, it's actually not what the Lord says at all. The decision is, certainly, the decision for salvation. But how we live our life is not to be that way. What made Mary special is not what drew attention to her. This is what I'm saying this morning. It's not what drew attention to her, but how her life brought attention to the Lord. What makes us special isn't us. Amen? It's not us that makes me special. What can make me special is how my life points to Him and makes others look to Him. Right? That's what was going on. The second thing we see in her life is down there actually in verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Listen, this was not a woman that elevated her way. Right? This isn't a woman that elevated her way or her will or her position or her equality. I just had to add that one in there. So, listen, this wasn't a woman that was trying to get some attention. This is one that, listen, to the contrary, this is a woman that proclaimed her position of handmaid. Servant. The slave of the Lord is really the idea of that word, that concept there. Is she said, you know, here I am, the slave for the Lord. Not the one that's important and I've got my rights, right? We like rights, don't we? We got a whole bill of them, right? We like rights. Nobody likes rights like Americans, I'm telling you. Maybe Canadians, I don't know. Anyhow, so we like rights. We like rights, and as a citizen, I'm glad we have rights. Don't misunderstand me. Praise the Lord, all right? But as a citizen of heaven, you know, it's not about my will. A slave, in this context here, is not a negative. It's not a derogatory or a persecuted position. Oh, she's a slave being... No. That's not the concept here. It was a place that one would position themselves willingly. Look with me. Keep your place there, if you would. We're going to turn back there. But turn over to the book of Romans. I want to start with this. The slavery was not what we think about it in this term that she's putting upon herself. In chapter 6, Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, he says this way. He says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Mary proclaimed this. Mary proclaimed, "Behold, the declaration is this, that I am, behold, look at me, look, I am the servant of the Lord." She's really positioning herself there. The handmaid was a female slave in that time, and that's what it was. It'd be one that waited on and served whom she was enslaved to. You know, here in the book of Romans, it tells us we're a servant to whom we yield to. Who do you want to? You know, you're like, "Well, I'm not a handmaid." Well, you are actually. Unless you're a man, then you're just slave. I don't know how that works. There's a handmaid, I don't know what the other. Butler? No, I don't know. Anyhow, so we are. We're a servant to who we yield to. So who are we going to yield to? What are we going to yield to? Either to sin, you know, pride, self. Right, my will, my way. Nobody's. You ever said something? You didn't, but you've heard somebody say, "Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do." Right? That's you know, we become. Can you imagine becoming a servant to ourselves? But it's really not to ourself, is it? We become a servant to our sin. And he said, listen, here's what Mary did. She made a choice there. What made Mary special is not what was put on her, but what she chose for her service to be. There's a liberty. There's a liberty in becoming a servant of righteousness. Kind of seems backwards, doesn't it? You get free by choosing to be a servant of God. There's no greater freedom than that. I mean, imagine when we think about you kind of a, what I don't want to say modern day, there is a modern day slavery, you know, in places, but there is a, you know, so what we think about slavery is, you know, whips and beating and force and pain and torment. And we think about some of this. Imagine the slave owner being the one that blesses you. And I've been blessed, right? We just heard that song. I've been blessed. And God's been so good to us. And what a slave master. Say, you're not doing it right, God. You know, it's supposed to be torment, right? No. Listen, I'm saying, listen, when we become a servant to God, we put ourselves under His will. What a wonderful place to be. There's liberty in that. Say, you know what? Where He leads, I'll follow. Right? Where I'm at, if He's leading me, He's with me. What shall I fear? Right? What a wonderful, wonderful place. Notice again, back in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy will." It's really this: not my will, thine be done. Same thing Jesus said. Be it unto me. Can we say that this morning? And it's actually a pretty big thing, isn't it? Whatever you want me to do, God, I'll do it. Hey, listen, no matter the challenge with it, I'm going to trust your will. That's hard to say. It is hard. I mean, it's easy to say. Hard to live, isn't it? Listen, when we get to the kind of place that says, I know what I'd like to do, and you know, listen, if it's the way I want it to be, then I'll do it. You know, God, I'll serve you anything you want me to do as long as it's how I want to do it. Right? That's kind of how we like it a little bit. I mean, we wouldn't say that, but God, as long as it lines out the way that makes sense to me, the way I'm willing to do it, I'll do whatever you want. You know, I'll go anywhere except anywhere but here. there's a song years back. It says, you know, there's a missionary song. It says, "Please don't send me to Africa." You know, and that's where they get sent. And so there's a whole listen. But her concept was this, and her spirit was this. Lord, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. What you said. By the way, this is no usual situation that God had set before Mary. Right. We talked about that last week with Joseph, but I'm telling you, I mean, it's one thing for Joseph to be told, hey, this woman you're about to be married, going to get married to, yeah, she's already pregnant. That's a big one, right? Now here it is, here we got Mary. Oh yeah, by the way, Mary, you're just now pregnant. You're going to be pregnant. You know, she's got to, you know, it's different. This is not usual. Look at verse 30. Look at verse 30 there. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Okay. Folks, can I say this right here too? I want you. It's okay to say, "God, I don't understand how this is going to work." It's okay to say to the Lord, "How is?" I mean, especially in that situation. You understand? Hey, listen, what I'm saying, it's okay to ask God, "I don't understand this. God, you got me in this situation, and you want to do this thing with me. How is it? There's no way I could do that, God, right? You ever been there? God wants to put you in some situation. God, I can't get through this. Right? And you say, how is this? I don't understand how this is going to work. God, listen, God wants to use you to do things so big that it's going to blow your mind. Right? Hey, listen, here's what I mean. It should seem big to me. Because it is. It's Him. If it isn't big to me, then it's me. Right? Do I want God just to do what I could do on my own? By the way, I'll tell you this. If God does what I could have done on my own, I'm going to give myself credit, not Him. God wants to do more than that. God wants you to do something that's going to give Him glory only. Yep, look at me and God did. You know, you ever said that? He's like, well, look what I did. Well, I mean, God helped me. Right? You kind of realize you should clean that up. But really, it could have been just me. By the way, folks, that's okay. We do those kind of things every day, and it's okay to give God credit for just, whether it's, turning a bolt or finding a nut or these kind of things. That's okay to give God for. We ought to give God for those little things. But I'm telling you, sometimes God wants to do something in our life that's so big, so different. When I mean big, I just mean so different for us that it kind of gets a little scary. The angel had to tell her, fear not, Mary. It's all right. You ain't in trouble, right? It's going to be big. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a little difficult. It's going to get us out of our comfort zone. Maybe it's going to change our schedule. Right? You ever had your schedule changed because somebody else changed something? Like an employer or a spouse or some little kid gets in your life, you know? Them babies will just change your life, right? All of a sudden now they're crying in the middle of the night. You know, stuff like that. They change your schedule. All of a sudden life gets changed and you're like, how am I going to do this? I need my sleep. And then you find out you can do it with less sleep, right? And we kind of go, listen, I'm telling you, listen, God does things in our life that are bigger than me. And He wants you to say, listen, trust me. Because when you trust Him, when we trust Him and He gets us through that, He gets the glory. So it's really a wonderful thing. He wants the glory. Listen, look at verse 35 now. Verse 35, he says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Wow, this is amazing. Listen, talk about big stuff. So God gave her help along the way. Her cousin Elizabeth, who was beyond child years. She was well stricken in years. How old is that? Right? I'm not saying. But the Bible just says well stricken in years is what He talks about with her. She's old. Past and what that, I don't know how old. You know, I'm not saying. Right? Try to stay out of trouble best I can. And so, here's the thing. She was beyond childbearing years, is what we know that. You know? And he said that one that was called barren, she's now 6 months into her pregnancy. So sometimes God will use somebody else's situation in somebody else's life that we'll watch when we're not really ready, right? Man, I want to follow God. We talk, I believe, but help me that unbelief. I'm a little bit, and God is, and what God did here, He said, listen, your cousin Elizabeth, that one that's called barren, she's 6 months. She's down the road with this thing. It's going on. Because remember, she hit herself. We read that. She hit herself because it's a little bit strange for this old woman to be pregnant. You know, I don't know, maybe if you're like 80 years old and you're pregnant people, I don't know how old, but I mean, something it was, she felt, I got to go hide. I don't know that whole thing and the reproach about it, and so forth. Man, I'll tell you, what an amazing thing. Here God says, I'm going to help you to trust me by seeing, I do stuff that's big. Listen, look for somebody that God's working in their life and get near to them. What a blessing. God will show Himself trustworthy if we can trust Him. We could trust Him. Too often we're busy wanting our way, despising others getting their way, fighting for our will, complaining about things not going my way, so that we miss seeing the wonders of God that He is using to encourage us in what He's going to give us to do. We can get so bothered by the other things, we miss what God is trying to do right in front of us in our life. Mary heard those things. She heard about this, what the angel said was going to happen to you. She says this, "Be it unto me." She was saying this, really, she just said this, "As you will, Lord. As you will. No matter how strange it is. No matter how difficult." Sometimes these stories that we read, these accounts of stuff like this, we're so familiar with it, it seems normal. It's like, yeah, a virgin had a baby Jesus. Yeah, that's fine. No, that's not fine. That's weird. It's really, really odd. You know what I'm saying? This is really, really unique. Remember the last time that happened? Yeah, this one. That was it. Man, it's an amazing thing. And listen, then she continued with this. According, that's in verse 38. She said, "And behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." According to thy word. Your will according to what you say is what she said. Listen, I cannot stress this enough. How vital it is that we have this concept of seeking our direction, His will, not from our heart, not from our feelings, not from our thinkings, but from His Word. I cannot stress enough that when, just as we find Mary saying, according to thy word. Listen, Mary was special because of how she responded to what God did in her life. Let that sink in for a moment. Soak that up a little bit. She was special because of how she responded to what God was doing in her life. Listen, no doubt this wasn't the first time that some situation where she was in such things as having an opportunity to trust God, to live for Him. When we come to this place in history, Mary had already had a testimony. Look at verse 28. It says there, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Listen, she was already highly favored. This God doesn't come to us from when we're not living for Him and say, "Hey, I got this huge thing for you." Right? We got this super massive thing. He's like, "God's never really given me anything big yet." Well, God starts with some things that your everyday life. Praising Him on everyday life things, living for Him and trusting Him on something that's maybe minor. Maybe typical, and we learn to say, "God, this is..." Maybe it's just a little bit of thing, a little tiny thing that says, "This is a little different than what I want to do. And God, maybe it's going to cost me. Maybe you're going to miss a promotion, miss some extra work, right? You're going to miss something that's going to cost you some money. Maybe it's going to cost you a friendship. Like, yeah, they want me to go." And I remember when I first got saved, my family, every Sunday they got together for lunch. And every Sunday they got together for lunch, and I was going to go to church in the evening service. And I'd go there, we'd go early, right after we got out of church, we'd go there, spend a little time, and leave. They'd get so mad, one of my cousins just gets so mad that I said, "Listen, I didn't want to do it, I hated it. I'm like, can I just slip out of here, you know what I mean? Can I be a little undercover Christian? And yeah, I'm not feeling well." You know what I mean? You know, sometimes God said, "Listen, sometimes it's little decisions, it starts with those things. And God asks you to do something that's a little thing. Maybe it's inviting your neighbor to church or telling them about salvation, give them a tract. Maybe it's a small thing and God, oh, this is so uncomfortable." And we begin to make those decisions to say, "Not my will, but thine be done." We find Mary here, no doubt had some of these things. Look at verse 30. It says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. She was already there. Listen, no doubt she had made a series of choices for the Lord, evidently. God uses His Word to give us direction. He uses the lives of others. Those that have also followed the Lord, followed His Word, to encourage us to believe. Listen, aren't you glad God uses other people? Every lesson you learn doesn't have to be your own. Don't you wish you learned from other people more often? But God does this. He gives us sometimes when we're already in this way and He wants to give us something that we can see and be excited and move in that direction. And here He is. And so look at verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went unto the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Listen, this is the day, we're reading here in a day when the Scripture wasn't written yet, right? It wasn't written yet. God imparted His Word directly through man, yea, sometimes through women, we find here, through the filling of the Holy Ghost. And she spake as a prophet would speak, not knowing these things, but given her by the Lord. Listen, today we have the Word completed. Amen? Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad for that? We don't have to wait for somebody to come in. We're all sitting here like, what's the word's Lord today? What's the word of the Lord today? And somebody comes in and says something, and you have to think, well, does that compare with what we heard the other guy say? You know, and wow, we have it all here. We live in a blessed time. Wonderful time. Yet we still have that same encouragement of the saints to help us in this way. Finally, I want to speak about this. Look at Mary's life and what it meant for her and what she did and how we could see some indications of her life. I'm going to talk about it in the service of the King. It's exciting to serve the living and true God. It's a thrill to get to serve Him. Listen, but I'll tell you what, when you see Him work in and through your life, In supernatural, miraculous ways, I'm telling you, it's something to behold. When God does something in your life that shouldn't be done, God heals a sickness in your life that the doctors say there's no hope, and you pull through that. When you see God do something in your life, see your family member get saved, you see your prodigal son come home, and God does these things in your life, and you're thinking, and you're begging God to do something, and God does that thing, and you know nobody could do that but God. I'm telling you, it's a sight to behold. It's a wonderful thing. I'm telling you. Listen, I'm saying we're not directed by feelings. I've said that already. But when you see God work in and through your life, even going before you to do these things, I'm telling you, it'll send a chill down your spine. I'm saying, it's not the chill that moves us, but I'm telling you, when we see God work, I'm telling you, it's a thrill. It's an exciting thing to see God. It sends goosebumps down. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, whoo, that's God working in my life. Wasn't He busy? I'm telling you, it'll tear up your eyes more than a Hallmark movie. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm telling you, it's something else. Something to behold. God personally working in your life in a way that only He can. If you're not experiencing that, you're missing out. You're missing out what God has in store for you. Notice Mary's response to this situation. Verse 46. She's there with Elizabeth. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent away empty. He hath holpen His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." She said this. She's saying this. God is exactly who He said He would be. God is exactly who He said He would be. He said He would do these things, and He's doing these things, and He's using me to do these things. Listen, God is good all the time. What a wonderful thing. So in conclusion this morning is this. God is not done using special people. You could find yourself in the same favor with God that Mary found herself. You believe that? Okay, three people. All right. You can. Listen, today we become accepted in the beloved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? A little different. What that means is this, is that Jesus Christ has personally paid the price for your sin. Isn't that wonderful? Listen, that when he said Mary was highly favored, what really that word highly favored means accepted. It's really what the meaning is. You're accepted with God. And now we're accepted not just through those things, but through, listen, Jesus Christ, He died. And that's the price of our forgiveness. But also, He didn't just die, He rose again. Because He was not only man. Yeah, He was born of a woman, but He was not just man. He was the very Son of the living God. He had victory over the grave. He could have went straight to heaven from the grave. Could have went straight there. Could have went straight there, sat on His throne. But He came back and He walked among men on this earth for a moment after that, proving to us that He had eternal life. Aren't you glad for that? Whew. He said this, "I'm coming again. Coming again. And whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord for forgiveness of their sin," He said, "you're going to be coming with me." Right? He said, "I'm going to come and we're going to meet Him in the air." What a wonderful day. That, my friends, is highly favored. Isn't that good? You ever just imagine what that's going to be like? Like, is my body staying? My soul going? Is it all going? Well, I'm going to see folks. Sometimes it's just fun to think about it. You know? What's it going to be like? I don't know. It's going to happen. Body's going to be changed. The moment twinkling. I'm telling you, it's going to be so quick. It's going to be something. Yes, He was born a babe in the manger, but He came to be our Savior. If you've not surrendered to Him, today, my friends, listen. Today can be the day of your salvation. There's no more highly favored than that. For those that have already been accepted in the beloved, He has a work for us to do. Amen? We see that? I hope we see that in the Scriptures. Listen, if He doesn't have something for us to do, then we would also be just right up in heaven. Jesus was done with His work. So when we're done with our work, so if we're still here, if we're still sucking air, it's for a reason. Amen? Something for us to do. What is that? It's going to be made a little different for each of us. That work, though, really begins with this. It's to trust Him. Trust Him. There are others that are looking to your... Listen to what I'm saying to you, folks. We're going to close. There's others that are looking to your life to see if what you say about God, do you really believe it? Imagine eyes peering on you, watching your decisions and your life choices. And do they match what you say you believe about this thing? He will use you like that. One day, use you to be something real special that'll make a difference in our world. If you'll surrender to Him today. Listen, two choices. We decide to follow Jesus Christ as our Savior. If you're not saved here this morning, if you are, you say this, Lord, no matter how challenging this is, be it unto me according to thy word. Father, I do pray that you'd help us this morning. Lord, would you forgive us a desire to follow you? Lord, that we might, certainly we're not going to do what Mary did, and yet we can be favored just as she was favored, and we can have a testimony among those on this earth, along with you. Lord, we could be called upon to do that which makes a difference in the lives of others. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see Mary not as false ideas about her are, and this elevated position that many have tried to put her in, but yet, Lord, we might see her as someone that you chose and you favored and you used to bring our Savior into our planet. Lord, I pray that you would stir us this morning, that we would desire to be used by you. Well, thank you for it now in Jesus.